two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome to the Utah Puck Report. I'm your host, James Stevens. We're doing a small show today. Today, it's me and special guest, Ryan Kanasiewicz, head coach now, and what, general manager, president? I know you get a lot of titles when you're the head coach there, kind of run the show. So congratulations and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. And we talked about it a little bit. I did an article on you for KSL Sports. But the podcast hasn't had a chance to really touch on how this all transpired. You're with Tim, you're helping Tim Branham build a team, and next thing you know, he's getting pulled up, like happens in the minor leagues all the time. So kind of step us through that with what happened with you.
Things kind of happen quickly. Tim and I were just kind of, I think it was like around Labor Day, just in the office, like business as usual. And he got a call, said he's going up to Colorado, and it was like just kind of a whirlwind. And yeah, and then I started I had a pretty good rapport with Tegan Zahn, who is now my assistant. So, you know, the wheels were in motion pretty quick on that. And yeah, I mean, now it's season's off and running, and, you know, things are starting to slow down a little bit with getting in a routine and stuff like that. So it's kind of nice now.
Right. It's nice for you because, I mean, you're a player here for a long time, and then it doesn't work out this way a lot of times for a guy to be a player in a place and then be the assistant coach and then be the head coach. So those routines that you were developing and learning as an assistant coach, now you just move over to that desk and now you're the guy, and you don't have to go to a new market. You don't have to learn new management and all their little quirks. So, I mean, that's a pretty good setup for you.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously it shows a lot to the organization for hiring within, and, you know, they were comfortable with me and I'm comfortable with them. And, you know, the transition has been pretty seamless so far. Obviously I learned a lot over the years with Tim. So, you know, it's just sliding over a desk and, you know, got some bigger decisions to make now, and, you know, the phone's a little busier and stuff like that. So,
yeah, so talk to me about that, too. And I do want to talk about Tegan, because that's awesome. He was, as hockey players call it, he was doing the Reggie Dunlop for the last couple of years, where he gets to be the player slash assistant coach. So he's kind of that liaison between the coaching staff and the players, and kind of goes into a middle management role, which is super hard for a player.
Yeah.
And super awkward a lot of times. And that's awesome for him to be able to move into that spot. So that's awesome. But tell us about, like, obviously you and Tim have a lot in common as far as you've watched him build teams and we've had super or really successful teams here, but like, you're going to have your own flair. You're the Grizzlies' all-time leading scorer. You're known for, you know, your shot and flash. It seems like you're going to want to bring in some of that. I don't know. I guess that's my question. What's the Ryan Kanasiewicz team going to be like? What do you look for?
Believe it or not, we want to build from the back end out. I'm a big believer in this league. If you have a solid D-core and can add good forwards to that group, you're going to be tough to beat on most nights. So obviously we want to play high end with pace and stuff like that. Offense, I want our guys to, you know, be creative. But I mean, obviously hockey's a simple game. You got to have guys drive the net. You got to get traffic. It's all the old cliches, but you know, if you play the right way, and you know, I feel like the way, you know, our team's built right now with the really heavy back end and we got some really good forwards, we're just going to continue to grow and, you know, we're going to be a tough team to beat night in and night out.
Yeah. And you talk about building from the back. So for me, that always, you know, we're talking about goaltenders.
Yeah.
And you're returning a couple from last year. And that's good. You've got the local kid, Garrett Metcalf. You've got Peyton. Wait, is that right?
Peyton. Yeah. Peyton Jones.
Peyton Jones. Last year confused me because we went through so many. We had Peyton and then Parker. And then, so I got a little confused last year, but so you got Peyton Jones who got games in the A last year, solid goaltender. He's an NCAA guy too. So you have two NCAA guys. And then there's a new goalie. I'm not sure where he came. He's a WHL goalie.
Yeah, he was in Vancouver in the WHL. He's an NHL contract goalie with the Avs.
Okay.
And he actually just got his first ECHL shutout last night. So
yeah,
he's only 20 years old. So the upside for him is obviously pretty big. And, you know, we're super excited to have him.
That's kind of what I wanted to get out because, you know, I get texts from fans and season ticket holders like, why didn't this goalie start? Why didn't this happen? And sometimes if Colorado sends you a guy, they're going to want him to see a lot of playing time and get challenged and develop. And that's the whole point, right? So we're going to see what's his name again?
Trent Miner, sorry. Yeah.
Miner. No, that's all right. I just was confusing his last name. So we're going to see Trent get more starts probably as the year progresses. And that's awesome. You've got a drafted guy. You've got an experienced guy. And Garrett Metcalf has a lot of experience too. So you guys really did build you're there as far as goaltenders.
Yeah, we got three fantastic goalies. Trent, it's his first year pro. I mean, Peyton's second year pro. And, I mean, they're considered rookies still because of the games last year. And Garrett Metcalf, who's, in my mind, he's just a fantastic teammate. It's tough being a third guy sometimes, but he handles it so well. And he knows, you know, with the long season and, you know, injuries happen. And, you know, he's just going to, you know, bide his time and wait for his chance. But, you know, for the time being with Trent and Peyton here, you know, they'll probably get the majority of the starts. So.
Right. And I'm sure like any goalie, Colorado's one of the few that lets you have three in their ECHL on their ECHL team. But yeah, that's six total spots that you're looking for some movement. Garrett's going to get in there somewhere. And I'm sure I'm going to get a few practices. Well, I guess I don't know that for sure. I know Tim would have called me. I don't know how Coach Kanasiewicz does his e-bugs, but
you might go for the younger Stevens.
Yeah, he's, you know what, he's available now too. He's
yeah,
a fresh college graduate. But yeah, a guy like Garrett gets it. He's been around long enough to know that he's going to get his shot and there's going to be a lot of movement in goaltenders. And that's the other thing I really kind of want the fans to understand is that it's people get frustrated with what goes on in the East Coast League as far as our two best players and one of our goalies just got pulled up to Colorado and we had an important series with, you know, whoever, with Idaho or rivals. And they kind of lose sight of the fact that we've got to develop these kids. And, yeah, they get pulled up and that gives your other guys a chance to step in and be better for playoffs, right?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Colorado is, in my opinion, the best affiliate in the ECHL. And, yeah, they give us a lot of players and they're going to take players. It's just the nature of the business and there's not much we can do about that. But that being said, like you said, we need to develop our ECHL guys here. And, you know, when their time comes, they're ready to just jump in and, you know, another seamless transition.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Getting back to a little bit about, let's talk about forwards a little bit more. Do you have a different place that you like to pull from? Because guys are like, I'm going to go get a skill guy. I'm going to go to the Q, or I'm going to go get, a banging forward. I'm going to find a guy out of the dub, like Mason Manick or whatever, get a guy that's going to be good in the corners. Do you have a preference on where you like to get your guys yet, or are you just still filling that out a bit?
Obviously, me being a Western League guy, I'm pretty biased towards the Western League, and you can see that we have some West guys on our team. But, you know, for the whole CHL, the way they're structured is very similar to the way our league is, with a lot of travel, a lot of 3-and-3s. So these guys come in and they're more pro-ready, as opposed to, you see it a lot with NCAA guys, don't get me wrong, they're a little older, they come in. But you see them typically have dips in the season because they only play 32 games in college.
Right.
But this year we're not really seeing any NCAA guys come out because they got the super senior year. So it's, recruiting has been a little different this year. Usually you have, you know, a whole senior class come out of NCAA and U Sport up in Canada. So you're having to find younger guys. You're having to go to, you see a lot of guys that played in the SPHL last year that, with only 13 teams in our league last year, some guys needed to play and had to go down there and play. So, recruiting's been just a little different. And then you're going to flip that on the head next year, and you're going to have two classes come out, and there's going to be a plethora of players. Right. So I'm sure it'll be a busy one come next spring with, those two classes coming out.
Yeah, that's because I was working on trying to bring, I'm not going to talk about who it is, but Tim and I were trying to bring a goalie here who I thought 2 years ago was going to be phenomenal. And he started getting better and better in the NCAA. And last season when we tried to bring him into the Grizzlies at the end of the year, he was like, yeah, I think I want to come. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, we're going to give you another NCAA year. And now he's getting NHL looks. And is so you've got all these guys that got that one extra year to be better. And you're just going to have – it's going to be – like you're going to be spoiled by the riches of the talent that you get. A whole other year of development before they even get here. And then they're still going to be rookies.
Still going to be rookie, yeah. And then the other class is going to come out with them, So, it's going to be – you're going to have a lot of players available. So – and this year there's still a lot of players available. It's just you just don't have that NCAA class coming out in U Sport. So,
I didn't think about that. So we just finished the weekend. You guys dropped a couple and then had a really solid game on Sunday. And like you said, Trent got his first professional shutout, and from what I heard, looked outstanding on that Sunday game. What did you see that you like? Where do you think you are? And did you learn something as a coach that you didn't know going into this year? You're like, oh, I made a mistake, or I learned something today that I'm not – that's going to help me going forward.
You know, I was obviously happy with the way we played yesterday, that we played a full 60 minutes. Trent with his first shutout, ECHL. I think he has one in the American League from last year.
Oh, okay.
But it was, you know, it was kind of nice with training camp and everything coming to an end. It was just so busy to just finally relax and play hockey, you know. We played a lot of good hockey Friday, ran into some penalty trouble. Power plays, I think, were 11-2 on Friday. One of those was a three-second power play, so 11-1 in my mind. And then Saturday was just, you know, could have went either way. We had, you know, a lot of grade A scoring chances. But, you know, we finally put it all together Sunday. And, you know, being a new coach, trying to throw a new system in, we obviously don't have a long time for training camp. So guys are, you know, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of teaching, stuff like that. So, you know, the signs from yesterday as a coach was phenomenal. So moving forward, we, you know, have another good week of practice and go on the road again. And, you know, hopefully, you know, just build on that Sunday win.
Yeah, that's great. And it looks like, I mean, as a longtime fan, obviously, and as a hockey guy, it's so nice to see, you know, for whatever reason, I loved seeing the Halloween jerseys. And to me, it had nothing to do with the jersey. I mean, they were great, but I'm just glad to see things getting back to normal. And there just wasn't a lot of opportunity last year for that kind of fun, loose stuff. And like you said, you get in, training camp's going, then all of a sudden you're on the road, you had preseason, and then you're, you know, you have a home and home stand right off the bat, and it's tough to get into your groove. But now it feels like hockey's back. And now you said we got a new system, we got new things to watch with the Utah Grizzlies. We got a new head coach, we got a new assistant coach, and Tegan's on. I got to get him on because, I mean, everybody loves Tegan. And I feel like I didn't mention him in the article on KSL, which the only reason I didn't is because I wrote the article before it was officially announced and I didn't want it to leak anything.
Yeah.
So I love that. I just think the Grizzlies have done a great job. It feels like you watch teams in the pros that develop their draft picks, right? And I feel like we've done that with the coaching staff finally. And you kind of – now you see Smurf up in the NHL all of a sudden. So now you see – it's not just our players that are making the NHL. It's some of our former coaches are making the show too. So there's a plan for everybody.
You got Tim up in the American Hockey League now. Kevin Colley's back in Allen.
Oh, I didn't know that.
As an assistant coach. You see the Grizzlies have done a phenomenal job developing not only players, but you talk about Chris Shornack or old equipment guys with the LA Kings now. Brian Ersbommer's with the Stockton Heat, Larry, Ryan Tall.
Ryan Tall, yeah.
San Diego, John Lofner's with the ASU. You know, the list just goes on and on. That's what this league's all about is developing, and, you know, everyone wants to move on. That's the goal in life and in hockey. And, you know, I think, you know, the culture that we've created here, you know, bringing in good people and, you know, hard workers and stuff like that. It's good to see them get rewarded and, you know, move on up the ladder.
Yeah, it's good. And Ryan, I'm really excited about the season and I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. I know you're this is your day off and you can't go golf, but we don't want to take up too much of your time. So really appreciate your time.
Yeah, we'll see if the wind kind of looks like it's dying down. Maybe we can go hit some big drives downwind.
Yeah. I need all the help I can get. I need the winds to, you know, correct my slice. As the joke goes, I golfed a 72 the other day, but I don't keep score. I just keep track of how many balls I lost.
Yeah, I've played golf there before.
It was, yeah, I know.
We had a good time.
Yeah, right? It was a good time. Gets expensive when you lose that many balls, but yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, I would really appreciate it. Okay, so you guys are on the road this weekend and then home the weekend after.
Yep.
All right. And tickets available on UtahGrizzlies.com. And again, this is the Utah Puck Report. Once again, thanks, Ryan. Appreciate you coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.